Breast X, good afternoon. I'm glad you think it's funny. If you had to wear my shoes and my clothes, you won't think it funny at all. But laugh, man.
I think every time I go on with my friend, I get a good laugh.
Oh, and okay. Then, well, I'm glad then, you laugh
and
because
a good laugh too, because the thing about it, I like your approach. A lot of people like your approach. No nonsense, fine. But listen, Dennis. Mm-hmm. I really want to touch on it, but I'm going to have to. Not so always call and say nobody have to serve God and he's going on. Fine, that's his view. I respect him. I respect his view. But what else is that? Is the Heavenly Father or the Earthly Father? I want to use respect and love for the Heavenly and for the Earthly. I want to say, I love thy neighbor like thyself and all them other problem solve. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Good. Now, Dennis, we got some problems, right, in this country. And we've been having these problems for a long time. I want to say that due to the lack of maintenance, this is where we can start. For the last 15 years, or thereabout, you've been hearing of schools closing, environmental problems, this problem, water problem, this, the next, the third, the next. I am saying today, and when I say this, I'm going to add the schools, the road, the bridges, the vehicles, the equipment, government, all of them. Mm-hmm. Let me get a team make up of the same NASA, an inspection team, to make sure work is done in a proper and timely manner in these departments. You're going to go on for another 10 years with this stupidness?
You know why you will, sir? Because we will ask why NASA get it and not NASA.
No,
why you get it and not me? Right. What is his capability? Who side he on? Why are you asking him? So we always find some little nit to pick at.
Yeah.
It's not an excuse. It's just a nit to pick at. It's not even an excuse, because an excuse have an answer or a counter to it. We just find something to pick at. Who mm-hmm. built this school? Who's in charge of the board? Mm-hmm. Anyhow. But then
NASA said just now of all people coming together. I had a discussion on Sahara, and it was so funny that today, the CNN is up now. Because we talk about our people and the behavior of our people, mm-hmm. but yet, we went to school, as they say, and learned. Somebody learned it was for.
That's true. Look, one of the, our school plants. Mm. Some of those plants were built because of grants we received from various international agencies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were almost built almost the same way. If you look at some of the school buildings, they were built, the buildings look the same.
Yeah.
Which means they were built to somebody else's specifications. Who said it was right for us? Who said that it allowed air into the classroom the correct way and flowing out? Who checked to make sure, and that goes back to the discussion we were having yesterday about architects and builders.
Yeah, go ahead.
Who said that those were the best ways, that the aluminum windows and the way they were built counter to the wind flow was the correct way mm-hmm. to be built? But we received the grant. They uh-huh. gave us the specifications, so they were built to those specifications. Luther Thorne looks like X, looks like Y, looks like Y. They look the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is how they told us to build it. Now, right. We're in 2020, right? Mm-hmm. We have learned new things. Have we changed the way we design our schools? Have we changed the way we build the classroom? Have we changed anything from that old structure that we have? Mm-hmm. How many of them have we done?
No. Well, that is so. Mm-hmm. We haven't changed much.
Good.
But as you said,
is it still working? Is it still working?
I didn't hear that.
Is it still working the way it should work?
No. But the
so we can fix it?
Thanks for yesterday when you made the point of the houses that were built of yesteryear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing about this here, Dennis, we cannot change the past, but we can do something in the present and the future. Now, the thinking, let me draw examples. You can imagine that we sit down here and build a stadium where the stadium was on the northwestern side. I thought that you would...
And all the rain come blowing in.
You can imagine. But no, somebody go back and get that plan. I see how it was dealt with the civil structure, everybody, architects, everybody. But the boy didn't understand that if it was on the above side with a brick, and also with a covered dune, that we would have enjoyed a nice stadium. So I understand the point you're making. We sit down here, and it seems as though you have to... All right, let me be careful of that. you got to go to some high university with 10 all them behind your name to make decisions.
So 9 out of 10 times, that's not the reason. 9 out of 10 times. The 10th time, that may be the reason. But the 9 out of 10 times is because the funding we got for whatever it is we want came with rope attached. Mr. X and X has to draw the plans. It has to meet the specifications of ABC. That's what it'll be like all over the world. So we're going to.
And another thing, too, I want to say here is pride. Pride goes a long way in everything that you do. Because let me explain something here to you. In that yesterday program, we talk about contractors and what's that. You hear me? Yesterday. If any contractor has pride and worth his salt, would make sure he does things in a proper manner. Now, I am calling today to get this team in action, and let's get some things done. We have bridges that for the last 4 years been constructed and can't finish. We have schools in dilapidated states.
I want to say
that let's get the PTA right and the school heads along with a team to make sure that schools are in proper manner for the school children. Any rocket science to keep a school clean?
Well, first it goes back to what you were saying, I suppose, pride. So there are times when I smile at the comments that people make and the questions that they ask and some of the, I don't know, sometimes I try to figure out how to take it because maybe I take it the wrong way sometimes. The National Stadium in Grenada was designed and built with funds from either Taiwan or China, I can't remember which one now. It was done by a Trinidadian architect. And when there was the hurricane, it blew down and they charged him with not doing the job right and there were all sorts of things flowing back and forth across the Caribbean. Kensington was redeveloped. People asked whether we needed to spend so much on it. Every Caribbean island has a particular topography. Barbados does not have the mountains of St. Lucia or Grenada or Dominica. Does not have the vegetation of Caroni in Trinidad or Antigua or the sand of the Bahamas. Barbados is a coral island with a particular type of topography. The winds in the Caribbean come from the northeast. Unless there's a hurricane, it comes from the southwest. Now, it does not mean that because I built a house in the hinterland in Guyana or Mount St. Catherine in Grenada or the side of a hill in Dominica, I can come and build a house in Barbados. And you know that because you're a builder who worked in the Caribbean. When I told people that Barbados has a way of building houses that is not mirrored in several Caribbean islands, Bajans, who are friends of mine, asked me why. I said, because Barbados is flat and because of the chattel heritage, you build a foundation, you put marl on it, you cover it in the rest of the house on top of it. You can't do that on the hillside in Dominica. There ain't no place to put a flat surface to put marl. So you got to find a way to prop it off the end of a hill. There's a house in Fort George in Trinidad that's built off the side of a mountain. Aviva Eccles' father built it. He got all kind of awards. He's a high-class engineer. If you drive up to the house, it looks like you're on a park out. It's just a flat piece of concrete, and you look like you're going to drive off the edge of the cliff, and there's a door in front of you, and you figure if you open the door, you're going to fall off the cliff. When you open the door, it's a spiral staircase that takes you down the side of the hill. The house is built into the side of the mountain, down three levels. The entire front is glass. I used to sit in the Viva bedroom and watch San Fernando, or the stars or something. Whether I see it or not, that's another problem. But that's where the house was built. He got awards for it, but he's a high-class engineer. So he can't build that. You know, he may build it off the side of Rendezvous. So there are different elements to the Caribbean that we have to take into consideration when we do things. So people can't come from the U.S., or the point I was making yesterday to the artisans who were in the studio. People go on the World Wide Web, they look at a nice house plan in a book, or on the thing, it looked nice, the house looked pretty, it got chimney, and they got the plans next to it, and they tell a draftsman, I want that. And then I drive down the road and I see John got a bay window, so I want four bay windows because I want to look better than John. Why do we have a chimney in Barbados? But I get a house design that got a chimney in it. So I say, take out the chimney. So where the chimney was, it got a blank wall. And that's right where the wind's supposed to come in. We do these things to ourselves, and then we blame other people. And then those of us who are honest enough to say so get cussed. I love people. I love just looking at my people and smiling. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Dennis.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I am all right, and you?
More or less. Yeah. I would like to borrow a few words from that last ad. Uh-huh. You don't have to be a roofing expert. You know that the NIS can remain where it is. Oh, it is.
Oh, you know that. Eh? Oh, you know that. You're a roofing expert.
The engineers have spoken, and the architects. But there are some people that I've noticed have been very silent. Some old building and old houses experts, no names to be called. Mr. Johnson, I'd like to revisit the whole rejuvenation of Bridgetown. I chaired the urban development, and that was part of its mission. But I'm no architect. You know, I'm no engineer. But I did the same subjects or the same qualifying subjects as they did. So they can't fool me. And I am saying to you that the fact that UNESCO has designated an area in Bridgetown to be Bridgetown and its garrison sort of define and delineate a boundary, even if it is coastal, for what I refer to as Old Bridgetown. Maybe the time has come now that we are to be known as Old Bridgetown and use that as a boundary and use those idyllic areas that Mark refers to and older guys refer to going out the country road and out by the bonds and down into the coming around St. Mary's and coming back in. Now, we go to countries and we enjoy their old cities. That is Old San Juan, Old Havana, Old Port of Spain, Old Montreal. The time has come that Barbados can speak proudly about Old Bridgetown.
What is there about Old Bridgetown for us to be proud of? Tell me.
What is there?
Mm-hmm. Are you asking you?
No, I'm going to answer you. First of all, mm-hmm. the age of the buildings and that they are standing.
Okay.
The history.
Mm-hmm.
There's the church. I see, what's his name? He's in Sir Bobby Morris.
Mm-hmm.
He did a lecture on St. Mary.
Mm-hmm.
When they were redoing the wall walls and the Barclays mm-hmm. family, etc.
Right.
So they're the churches and mm-hmm. the purposes of these institutions.
Okay. So let's take Bay Street as an example.
Yes.
On the land side of Bay Street.
Right.
Along the side we have.
No, when I say right, correct.
I know. Where, I understand that. Where Harry's Nightree used to be and all that. There was a architectural style along the side of the road there, all the way down to Lorry Dash. You could still see it, etc.
Yep.
Now, do you see a benefit in recreating or keeping fresh or giving people incentives to rejuvenate those buildings so you keep that look as you go down the street?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you go into sites, sir?
Yes, I do. Quite regularly.
A whole different atmosphere.
Correct. Which is the point I was getting at, okay?
Yeah.
Now, therefore, if you say that is the style of Old Bridgetown, you then would have to select the buildings you think are worthy of A, refurbishing, B, those that have passed their useful stage and may have to be remodeled but keeping the style.
Yes.
I was told that the gentleman associated with Copacabana said he heard that I said something and he wanted to know what I said. And the reason why I mentioned Copacabana was that it has recently been redone, but the style with having the patio thing, the patio look has remained. So it is possible to have a modern building, but styled along the vernacular of the area.
As they say, stick a pin there, Mr.
Yes, sir, I will stick it.
Following, you know, I was often BBC gives you some reruns on Singapore, because we all talk about Singapore
you hear that all the
as
time.
Being the model. Mm, no, I don't warm towards the Singapore model. Mm. There are other models that I know of, because in following Singapore, Singapore used to be the trading, the money exchange center, the opium center, coming from the east, the Middle East, and to west. Mm. And Singapore has similar architecture, and it is tied back to their colonial time.
Mm-hmm.
And in celebrating, there are those who feel it should come down, or they feel that it shouldn't be as upbeat as it is.
Mm-hmm.
But all these blends tell you the age. No, National Insurance Building.
Mm-hmm.
I am old enough, and you're old enough to remember before independence and since independence.
Mm-hmm.
And that building has given definition and locus to Barbados. There's a newer section of Barbados or Bridgetown in Old Bridgetown that's approaching 50 years or thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
So I see I don't even call it the Starcom building. I call it the old
Rediffusion building. Yeah.
Those buildings in between there,
mm-hmm.
NIS,
mm-hmm.
Sanjet House, Manning,
mm-hmm.
The old Barnes building,
mm-hmm.
Independence Square.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I see that as being representative of a Barbados that was emerging.
But that's you.
And
the question is, and this has been the question that I've been asking people, and I'm going to ask you this.
Yeah.
The Grotto, which was next to NASCO, was demolished. I heard nobody making a song and dance about it. The old Harbour Police station was demolished. I heard nobody making a song and dance about it.
Yeah.
The buildings that were next to the across from Nelson, from the arms, the buildings on the bottom of Bay Street next to the boatyard, those old buildings fell apart. They were beautifully kept in the drawings of a certain Bajan artist, but they went down and nobody said anything about it.
Yeah.
The old Eye Hospital, those two buildings opposite the cathedral and Gemma's Lane fell to pieces.
They all fall into Old Barbados.
Yeah, but why we didn't make all this noise? What is so special about the fire station and the NIS building that we're making noise about it and not the others? Even Bishop's Court, what we used to call the Bishop of Barbados lived, that was on fire the other day too. And I ain't hear the song and dance about it.
Thank you for that, Mr. Black. Thank you for that, Mr. Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am saying to you,
mm-hmm.
if we look at the economic position of Barbados,
all right, mm-hmm.
at the moment, the BERT program,
mm-hmm.
David did a program on SagiCor,
mm-hmm.
where, what do you call it, SagiCor Early Business.
SagiCor's Early Business,
In which a lot of time, it really revolved about economies that are indebted, mm-hmm. highly indebted and going through restructuring, etc.
Right.
There are three areas in the what they call economic table that are so closely intertwined that if you work out the relative change or the change relative to the last reporting, they seem to move either up or down by the same percentage. You know what they are? Debt, deficit, and interest.
Mm-hmm.
And what the distillate from that conversation is, don't go into programs, okay, that would involve spending money when you could save the money. And I put it to you, Mr. Johnson, the opportunity cost, the cost of licking down, removing, and freighting away and cleaning, we don't know that cost as yet. We have just been given, this in a guesstimate, a good bill of health, a reasonable bill of health by the two the architects and the other guy, the engineer. I'm saying that you have scaled it out enough. And listening again to David the other afternoon, and hearing you today, without doubt, it is the red light area of the city. Dying for Lord and Lady Cransford, although Lord Cransford will come back out the night and enjoy the evening, you know.
Really?
It is a vibrant and hot area. And I'm saying, if you don't know what to do with it, if you don't want to put a government department in it, because you must first of all look at government rent, astronomical, you can put it on the London market for pub franchisers, whether it is a group or an individual. I've just seen fish and chips shops moving into China. We have our connection already, and you do like how the East Germans did when they were reannexed, the West Germans, when they were re-annexing East Germany. They put up the buildings that had gone into dereliction because of the politics, etc., for sale of one Deutschmark until you got the restorative work done and brought back up, and then you pay the price.
So I hear all the plans. I hear all the things that we could do with it and all the things we didn't do with it and all the reasons why it should not be demolished. We have tried the spaces in Bridgetown for rent that have been for rent for the longest while. There's a beautiful old building, and I'm talking about old as in the old Bridgetown, that was refurbished. It was turned into a mall. There was a restaurant upstairs. It looks down on the waterway. Beautiful building. Was the last any time it's been used for anything? It was redone by the government of Barbados, as far as I recall. Then I heard it was leaking, all sorts of things. So we attach sentimental value to certain places for various reasons, and then we cloak it nicely in other language to make it palatable. When I heard the National Trust say that the building occupied by, that's been acquired by government, is of historic importance, because if you look at it from the sky, you see a roof that looks like bunches of bananas. I wonder how many people passing in front of the liquidation center ever thought it was a beautiful historic building. At the same time, you have what I consider, but it's just my idea of beauty, beautiful buildings around the garrison, those red brick buildings that were done by the British, sitting there doing nothing. We could refurbish those too and put beer pubs and art galleries and places for people to recreate and rent and do commercial activity and extend it outside of Bridgetown to the greater area. With the redevelopment of the hotel next to the police station, we'd be losing that. The police station will go across the road, and we're talking about putting a new road to go down there. You have Brigade House that's sitting down empty. There are various other places in Barbados where commercial activity could take place. But we fixated on the fire station and the NIS building because it's the look of New Bridgetown. Right across from it, you mentioned Sunjet House, and that was supposed to be imploded, and I heard nothing more after they remove a few bits and pieces. The library, the Carnegie Library, that too is to be redone at some point. The Jewish synagogue was redone by those who have an interest in the history of the Jews in Barbados, and they put their money where their mouths are located, and they redeveloped that. You need more of that kind of development in Bridgetown, perhaps, to the benefit of commerce, yes, and the aesthetic beauty. Royal Bank was rebuilt to not make the proximity to the Parliament buildings make it look, odd. But right across the road, you got a big white building with blue glass all over it that I suppose has to look a new Bridgetown too. So a country's development should not be hindered by political or other considerations. It should not be stymied because of who made the suggestion. And it should not be placed in the hands of one person or one group of persons either. That's just my belief. And everybody has a vision. As I said on one of the previous programs, not everyone has either the political clout or the financial clout to make it happen. So it will just be dreams. Karl Moore said that we should perhaps have a whole new city somewhere else. And perhaps then Bridgetown will become old Bridgetown. Someone also sent a message on WhatsApp saying, we're not parks people. We don't recreate. We don't sit in parks and enjoy, feed the pigeons and watch the children play. That too is true. We can't do it on the beach anymore, so we got to do it someplace. The Monday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Thanks for your comments. Glendary Prison is also a place of national significance and historic importance. What are we doing with it? Brass Tacks, good afternoon. And thank you for holding if you're still there. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
You are on.
Yeah. You're talking about recreation and things like that. What about economic benefits? You can turn the building into a restaurant or pub as it was in the olden days.
You didn't hear me when I said that there are other buildings that we could do the same thing to as well.
So what happened to the same national building?
So because people moved out of it because it wasn't healthy to be in there.
So refurbish it and make it healthy.
So how you refurbish a building to make it healthy?
With the engineering contractors, everybody get involved.
So have you heard what the engineers and the contractors have said about spores in the walls and incorrect air conditioning and the fact that you have a transport operation across the blowing diesel across into the building and sitting in the wall? You didn't hear them saying so? Because they say so, not me. I sit down in a building here that got issues too. I ain't know where it coming from. But they said so, not me.
So
why you think people went out of the building? You think every time that they closed the building for environmental concerns, the people in there were joking?
No.
Oh, okay. So you're going to put some more people in there after doing what? Washing the wall?
Design the building a different way.
So how are you going to design it if the walls...
The architecture problem, not you or me.
Says who? I ain't making it a problem. We talking about... You raise it, you know. So why are you telling me it's not our problem and you raise it? Who called this program and raise it? Me? You raise it. You call and ask why they can't use it to make money. And then you tell me it's not we problem. So why you raise it if it's not your problem?
But anyway, I call about the national insurance.
Oh, tell me what you call about
distribution. On today, tomorrow, me and my other, some pensioners haven't received their pensions yet.
Mm-hmm. I know. A couple of them called.
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. 4341790. You can also reach us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net, or you can send an WhatsApp message to 266-4862. Someone asked me here, the same National Trust has sent out a portion of the East Coast. Well, nobody didn't buy it yet. So perhaps what they wanted to do with it, they couldn't do it. So I find that one curious, though, because I think it was Sanka who read the email saying that I should not try to justify it. But I thought it curious that the National Trust was selling a portion of the East Coast that wasn't supposed to be, it was supposed to be left in pristine condition for the use of the citizens of this fine nation to recreate themselves and to take their families on picnics. And I will wait to see if they have permission to sell it, who offers to buy it, and what they plan to do with it. Perhaps they plan to donate it to the people of Barbados as a gift, as Barclays Bank did with Barclays Park, after they buy it. Who knows? They may be philanthropic people. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hello, Mr. Johnson.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. A little correction here, please.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the first caller who spoke to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to you about the parents not understanding the importance of education. So I was going on to say that the parents should make sure that they get in connection with the teachers and they go to the meetings and take an interest in the school and all that kind of thing. And then you asked me something about what about the teachers' children. And I said the teachers look after their children because I know they are in the system and they know about the educational thing. But I don't never make that teachers would not be caring about the other children, and it has gone out like that.
Ma'am, I did not say that you meant that. What I said was, which people would just sometimes forget that it's me and just listen to what I said. You said that parents were not paying sufficient attention to their children's development, right? And that the teachers were looking after their own. And I'm saying that teachers were parents too. So if parents were not looking after their children, why would they suddenly start doing it when they became teachers? The parents, there's a program put on by Paradox that says parents are their children's first teachers. It's not that parents are automatically teachers, but they, the same way they become parents, they are responsible for training their children. That's why I asked, I found it strange that you said the teachers would look after their own, because they're parents too. So their involvement with their children when they get into school is because they're parents, not because they're teachers. They're parents first, and then teachers. So it's not they went out in whatever way you think it went out. And I'm sorry you took it that way. But thanks for coming back to clarify it. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Johnson, I'm a first-time caller.
Well, it's good to have you there, sir.
I'm very concerned about May Beach Foul Bay.
Mm-hmm.
The entrance to Foul Bay is in a terrible state.
By what? What's causing it?
I have
it?
Made... Pardon?
What's causing the terrible state?
The entrance has been eroded with heavy equipment. I understood from an establishment not too far eastward from Foul Bay, which is in the crane. I don't want to blame anybody. I have tried to make contact with my representative on two or three occasions. I have not got an answer. I have not got him nor the answer from the office. I will let him and the Minister of Communication and Works to take a drive down to Foul Bay Beach and see what state the road is in. You cannot drive down there properly to start with. You cannot walk down there probably because you'll wring your ankle. And Foul Bay is a beach that tourists do come and spend hours daily to enjoy the sea and the sand or whatever. The residents cannot get on there probably like myself. I'm asking the representative of St. Philip South to join with Mr. Dugan to come and have a look at it and see if we can have it rectified before our time of the 2020 gathering comes by in July. It's really in a bad state. That is all I have to say.
Okay, sir.
Thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you as well. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Cap Happy New Year to my favorite announcer.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you too.
This is the first time I get to talk to you. We say you should call in, or you could call a number to call.
Mm-hmm.
There in Oysters, we have some Zeta's already. We have 9F. We have the Spikestown van, but there's a van. It's 3, and it might passengers. I mean, everybody wants to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get in, this guy driving so fast, he don't want the other, the regional buses to take him out. He's blocking the road and everything. I would like the relevant authorities to get to Oysters for the morning and see this van. The number is 53, and it's a 3, and it shouldn't be operating there. It should start from Eagle Hall.
Whoa, so he way off route.
Exactly. So if something happens, that means we can't get anything. I mean, I don't catch him, because I catch him one morning anyway, how he drives. I had to fear me all day.
So now we.
Oh, dear.
You know, the challenge with vans trying to make up as much as they possibly could by going off route, I've mentioned this before as well, is the fact that the vans don't issue tickets. So if there's anything wrong, how do you prove you were in the van? There is no way to prove you're on the van. If the van is licensed to carry, let's say, 20 people, and 25 people say, I was on that van, and the insurance and the licensing office say, but you're only licensed to carry 20, so how you get 25? You five people lying, you weren't on the van. You have no way of showing that you were there. Those are the little things that put commuters at risk. That with all the talk we're talking about, whether we need 10 bays or 15 bays, whether we need, you know, coverage and new, these little things have to be addressed because they affect the lives of our traveling public. But some things go by the wayside. Ma'am, I hope that having made this statement that you see some people checking up by your area. Brass Dax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you and listeners.
Yes, ma'am.
Listen, I would like people who are on the outside looking in to clean the glass windows and stop getting themselves involved in things that they shouldn't get themselves involved in. You see that National Insurance building? That is, you know, they had 2 environmental studies, and the staff were given memos in relation to the situation, which I will not divert on the air, right? And they think that the staff needs to come out in front of the building for the fun of it, and it wasn't easy. You understand? And there's things that happen in there.
They used to come out because they didn't like the government.
No.
Ma'am, that's what people say. That people come out because they want spite and they don't like this and the union, you know, just disruptive.
Ain't nothing to do with that. When you're sitting down there, which part of the bank used to be and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the fumes from the vehicles used to be coming all under the doorway and
whatnot
and so forth. And sometimes you know, sister got to leave, and mm-hmm. instead of going to the front, you know, sister got to go to the side, that side, like going to Nelson Street side, mm-hmm. to get her breath of fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it takes the people to warn, because they're human beings, because you got to inhale all of that, and then they had a air conditioning problem and other problems too.
But ma'am, I remember standing up outside this building with Gabby Scott, Orlando Gabby Scott. Gabby could back me up on this. And we were talking about that building and the disruptive, you know, things that were happening. I said, Gabs, you got the transport board with buses lined up in there with the backs pointing at the NIS building with their engines running and the diesel fumes coming across. Then you have minibuses parked around the corner with their engines running and more diesel fumes going into the building. You expect it to be clean and the air in there to be healthy? The air conditioning system in Barbados, in most buildings, just circulating the air inside, some of them don't have outflows. So they pull in the air, they circulate it. The air conditioning technicians came in here and said so. I am not saying it because I'm an air conditioning technician. I'm saying it because they said so.
And excuse me, and the cleaning the air conditions all the time, and the problems still arising and stuff like that.
Because the bus is still out there, and plus you got cars parked up all over there, waiting on the traffic light to change. Yes.
And then there is space. I push down the building. You understand? Because it has served its useful life. You understand? And if you look at it good, some parts it got cracks and all sorts of hollows. To be, it wasn't a main sport working. And there you go on because you want the little dollar. And sometimes you cannot take it no more. You got to go outside and get a breath of fresh air. Go downtown or walk out and come back. And then come back and do your work and things like that. And try and get out as much as possible. And sometimes you might even take home a little work to do and come back to get yourself sorted out the next day. It was frustrating. So I don't know why some people out there tell you, want to put a pub there and put this thing here and the third thing there and all sorts of things. The building want pushing down.
All right, ma'am. Perhaps we could do like the Colosseum and just take out everything inside and leave the shell there and people will come and visit it as a building of historic importance and the nice sashes on the window. You know, like the Colosseum in Rome that crack and collapse and stand in for centuries. I like your comment, though, about people should clean their windows. That's one of the classics. I remember that one, too. Thank you for your contributions on this Monday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. And thank you, Joel, for keeping me on the straight and narrow. And to those of you who kept the smile on my face, thank you. And to those who keep thinking that I get angry, it's passion. It's not that I get angry. I have reached this stage in life where I can't get angry. It goes against my constitution. Have a good afternoon. And enjoy Arabara Day tomorrow, whatever you do.